Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, what verse is on the board? 17. Okay, let's see here. Starts with Sri Sukha Vacha. Okay. All right, so I'll chant 17. There's no purport. So then we'll go to 18. Sri Sukha Vacha iti mantra upanishadam vyaharantam samahitam drishtvasura yatudana jagdam abhadravan ksura. Translation. Sukadeva Goswami continued. Swayambhuva Manu was thus in trance, chanting the mantras of Vedic instruction known as the Upanishads. Upon seeing him, the Rakshasas and Asuras, being very hungry, wanted to devour him. Therefore, they ran after him with great speed. So, text number 18. Tams tatavasitan vikshya yajna sarvagato hari yamai parivrito devar hatvasasat trivishtapam tams tatavasitam vikshya yajna sarvagato hari yama paritvarito devar hatvasasat trivishtapam tams tatavasitam vikshya yajna sarvagato hari yamaha parivritto devar hatvasasat trivishtapam tams tatavasitam vikshya yajna sarvagato hari yama parivrito devar hatvasasat trivishtapam. Vaishnavis. Tan, the demons and rakshasas. Tata, in that way. Avisitan, who were determined to devour Swayambhuva Manu. Viksha, upon observing. Yajna, Lord Vishnu, known as Yajna. Sarvagata, who is seated in everyone's heart. Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yama, with his sons named the Yamas. Parivritaha, surrounded. Deva, by the demigods. Hatva, after killing the demons. Asasat, ruled, taking the post of Indra. Trivishtapam, the heavenly planets. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Lord Vishnu, who sits in everyone's heart, appearing as Jnanapati, observed that the Rakshasas and demons were going to devour Swayambhuva Manu. Thus the Lord, accompanied by his sons, named the Yamas, and by all the other demigods, killed the demons and Rakshasas. He then took the post of Indra and began to rule the heavenly kingdom. Please repeat. The Supreme Lord Vishnu, who sits in everyone's heart, appearing as Yajnapati, observed that the Rakshasas and demons were going to devour Swayambhuva Manu. Thus the Lord, accompanied by his sons, named the Yamas, and by all the other demigods, killed the demons and Rakshasas. He then took the post of Indra and began to rule the heavenly kingdom. Purport. The various names of the demigods, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Indra, and so on, are not personal names. They are different posts. In this regard, we understand that Lord Vishnu sometimes becomes Brahma or Indra when there is no suitable person to occupy these posts. So it's a very short purport, and the next one is a very short purport. And the rest, there's no purports to like the next 10 verses, 11 verses. So I'll just read the last next verse, 19, which is a short purport. And then the next person can just pretty much finish the chapter. So the next verse, number 19, is Saro Chiso Dvitiyastu Manur Agne Suto Bhavat Dumat Susena Rochismat Paramukhas Tasha Chatmajaha. The son of Agni named Sarochisa became the second Manu. His several sons were headed by Dumat, Susena, and Rochismat. Purport. Manvataram Manur Deva Manuputra Sureshraha Rishayo Rishayom Savarataracha Hare Sad Vidham Uchate. There are many incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Manu, the Manuputra, the sons of Manu, the king of the heavenly planets, and the seven great sages are all partial incarnations of the Supreme Lord. Manu himself, his sons Priyavata and Uttanapad, the demigods created by Daksha, and the rishis like Marichi, were all partial incarnations of the Lord during the reign of Swayambhuva Manu. During that time, the incarnation of the Lord as Yajna took charge of ruling the heavenly planets. The next Manu was Sorochisa. The Manus and the sages and demigods are further described in the following 11 verses. So Om Gyana Tamaranda Syag Ananjana Salakaya Chakshus Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guru Vena Maha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upagadamayam Dadanti Swabhadantikam Vanchakopa Tubhischa Kripasindhu Bhivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Guru Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Okay, so the three verses again. Sukadeva Goswami continued. Swayambhuva Manu was thus in trance, chanting the mantras of Vedic construction known as the Upanishads. Upon seeing him, the Rakshasas and Asuras, being very hungry, wanted to devour him. Therefore, they ran after him with great speed. The Supreme Lord Vishnu, who sits in everyone's heart, appearing as Yajnapati, observed that the Rakshasas and demons were going to devour Swayambhuva Manu. Thus the Lord, accompanied with his sons, named the Yamas, and by all other demigods, killed the demons and Rakshasas. He then took the post of Indra and began to rule the heavenly kingdom. The son of Agni named Sarochisa became the second Manu. His several sons were headed by Dumant, Surusena, and Ruchismat. Jai. So here we're learning about the administrators of the universe, the assistants of the Lord in managing the universal affairs in this huge prison house of the material world. These Manus, as described in these verses, they're actually different incarnations of Krishna, different expansions. Actually, Krishna populates and runs the whole show here that's going on in the universe. It's confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Aham Sarvasho Prabhupo, Mata Sarvam Pravartate, that Krishna says, I'm the source of all the spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. So Swayambhuva Manu, being a great devotee of the Lord, knew that. So therefore he was wise and he engaged in devotional service. And he worshipped Krishna with all his heart. So this is Manu. He's literally standing up for the Lord. And if you stand up for the Lord, take a stand for Krishna, Krishna won't let you down. So what was he doing? He gave up his kingdom and he went with his wife to the forest to stand on one leg. And we just finished hearing all the wonderful prayers he was chanting to Krishna, or murmuring, it's described, to the Lord. So this is very nice. Manus, they're great kings, they're called Rajarshis. They're Rajas, kings, and Rishis, great saintly persons. Quite different than today. Our administrators and leads are mostly just plunderers, selfish, egotistic. Anything for yourself. You know, whatever it takes to satisfy myself, that goes. Forget anyone else. But the Manus, the administrators of the universe, they're actually concerned about everyone, not just their remote, you know, immediate families or their friends or their city, but they're concerned about every living entity within the entire universe. And not just the human species, but all species, all living entities. They're very much concerned in love for them, concerned how to help them advance, to make use of the human form of life to the best of its ability, or any of their lives, for protection. So these Manus, they're like heads. They were the leaders. It's so important to have a head on your body, isn't it? I mean, The head sees. It guides you where to go. You know, you can hear things. You can hear something dangerous. You can protect yourself. You can even smell. You can smell a fire if it's nearby. So imagine a body without a head. It's, you know, it's useless. It's practically, you can't do anything. It's a dead body. So this is what the mano is. They're interested in managing the affairs of the universe. And what are these principles? What's the essence of these managers? What are their principles? What are the principles of these managers of the universe? What's the main principle that we see? Throughout all time, many thousands of years ago, they followed principles, same principles that actually now that are being followed. We have the Bhagavad Gita. It's like a law book. It gives us the essence of all the things that we should be doing. And then now we're in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which describes in detail more the subtle intricacies and the nuances of law and how to act properly, how to live, along with beautiful pastimes and amazing mystical stories. Just like now we're hearing about how these demons were very powerful. And they're ready to devour the saints. And this is what they used to do, the demons. They would try to destroy this culture, this Vedic culture. But they were just interested in their own sense gratification and exploiting the people for their own pleasure. Literally for their own tongues. Eating great sages like that. So these manus, they're great heroes. This is actually who Manu is. He's a hero. And there's been many heroes throughout our life. I mean, it's an important thing. There's a quote from a psychologist. It says here, if we want to know the possibilities for spiritual growth or moral development in human beings, then I maintain that we can learn most by studying our most moral, ethical, or saintly people. They spontaneously tend to do right because that is what they do. That's what they want to do, what they need to do, what they enjoy, and they will continue to enjoy. But today, just the opposite, it seems like modern psychologists, they're obsessed with studying mental diseases. But actually, Maslow says that in these healthy people, we find duty and pleasure to be the same thing, as is also work and play, self-interest and altruism. So he was saying how we should study the heroes, not in psychology, how they study the psychologically diseased, the mentally disturbed. But we should study the heroes, the healthy people. And in that way, we can follow them. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains how, what is the essence and the purpose of this managerial affairs. And Prabhupada gives a very brilliant purport. I'd like to go there and just point that out here. It's in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. First verse. The Personality Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna said, I instructed this imperishable science of yoga to the sun god, Vivishvan. So there's another hero, Vivishvan. He's the sun god. And Vivishvan instructed it to Manu, who we're discussing about today, the father of mankind. And Manu in turn instructed it to Ikshvaku. And Prabhupada explains in the purport here that Ikshvaku was the head of the earth planet. So this is the history of this knowledge, these law books like Bhagavad Gita. It dates back to the sun god, a great king. And why the king? Why the sun god first? Because the sun, it provides nourishment for all the planets. For everything in the planets. The sun is so powerful. So he instructed the science so that the universes can be maintained properly. Not only for their material well-being, but for the spiritual well-being. So Prabhupada says here, human life is meant for cultivation of spiritual knowledge, an eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the executive heads of all states and all planets are obliged to impart this lesson to the citizens by education, culture, and devotion. So in other words, the executive heads of all states are intended to spread the science of Krishna consciousness so people may take advantage of this great science and pursue a successful life, utilizing the opportunity of the human form of life. So Prabhupada explains here how it's done by education, by culture, and by devotion. A lot of people see so many problems in our society and in the planet. You know, save the trees, save the oceans. You know, they're concerned. You know, they go off and they talk about it. But they don't really do anything about it. What can they do? They don't know what to do. They have no idea what to do. It's very interesting how people become so disturbed about what's happening. But there's a nice quote someone says, by analysis, they get paralysis. You can analyze the world and then they become like shocked. They can't do anything about it. They don't know what to do. They don't have the knowledge. But these great kings were given this knowledge by Krishna. The great leaders, they knew what to do. They had that ability. Just like Srila Prabhupada, he was so excited that he found out the solution to all the problems of the world. And how people can go back home, back to God. He was so excited, so he went to Dr. Bose and explained to him, I found the solution to all the problems. This is before he even came to America. And he wanted to spread it far and wide, this knowledge. So taking the order of his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta, he said that in the beginning of this chapter, Srila Prabhupada begins in the chapter summary, how first of all he would like to offer his obeisances unto his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj. And he said he has learned many important instructions from him about temple construction and book publication, and how important, more important, was book publication than temple construction. But it's not that temples are not important, but the function of the facility has to be for preaching. That's important. So he understood that. And he immediately started Back to Godhead magazine. He started translating, writing the Srimad Bhagavatam. He had all these things to fulfill the order of his spiritual master. And just like the great sages, Srila Prabhupada, he went all over the world and he spread this knowledge of Krishna consciousness. The Rajarshis' duty is that the kings, executive heads, were supposed to be saintly people. But today, the rishis have taken that responsibility. Look at Srila Prabhupada. He has done more than any executive head, executive leader, president, so-called heroes of this world. Just like there's an interesting analogy a devotee used when he was doing his Vyasa Puja offering to Srila Prabhupada. He was relating how Agastya Muni, Agastya, I think the name comes from mountain, or he leveled a mountain. I don't know if anybody knows this story. I don't know the story exactly, but somehow or another he cut off mountains in order to keep these societies from being separated by mountains. Just like you have a huge mountain, there may be one society on one side of the mountain and the other side, but they don't understand each other. They're different cultures. There's differences, so many differences like that. So he removed these mountains. And he established communication between the people. And he went and created brahmanas, kshatriyas, all over the world. And also, in the same way, these saintly people, they killed the demons too. So there was this rakshasa during that time. Anybody remembers their name? There's two rakshasas, Iluwala and Vatapi. What they would do is, but they're mystic, you know, rakshasas, they're very powerful personalities. What he would do is, he would convert his brother Vatapi into a goat. And then he would cook it and serve the meat to the brahmanas. This is a different age. In Kali Yuga, meat eating is not allowed. So when he would, they would eat this goat, then he would say, he'd call his brother, Vatapi, come out. So then he would expand himself into his original form and kill the brahmanas like that. So this is what he would do, go all over and just kill thousands of people this way. So Agastya Muni went there and he offered him the same thing. And he, you know, he ate that and he told his brother, come out now. And then there was nothing happened, and then Kashyapa Agastya Muni just burped. So he was that powerful, he digested the demon and then he killed his brother, the other demon. So this is what he did. So just like his analogy, using the analogy like Srila Prabhupada, you know, he has traveled all over the world and broke boundaries. He even went behind the Iron Curtain and said, this will not last. You know, it's like 80 years, I think it was, lasted. And now look, it's destroyed. And there's so many devotees coming from the other side of the world like that. And Prabhupada also went all over the world and he created brahmanas from all classes of people. He created brahmana Vaishnavas. You can go to Mayapur right now and there's devotees from all over the world. Chinese devotee could say, Hari Bol, Hare Krishna. You know, Russian devotees, devotees from Africa, all over the world. This is Srila Prabhupada. He traveled to all the different continents and he created devotees. He distributed books and he smashed these demons also this age. What are the demons? The demons today are these materialistic philosophers, these rascal scientists, and these foolish politicians. Prabhupada called them all fools and rascals. Even in the book, Life Comes from Life, he calls them these names, and devotees are kind of worried about distributing that book, but it's being distributed. So this is Srila Prabhupada. He removed these mountains of false ego, lust, anger, and developed saintly qualities in people all over the world. He established ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, creating Brahmana and Vaishnavas all over the planet. And he destroyed people's faith in these stupid demons, materialistic philosophers and scientists and politicians. So this is the great responsibility that Manus and Rishis, and these are the great heroes of society, just like these Rishis of Naimisharanya. They sat and they performed sacrifices for 1,000 years. So in other words, they gave their lives. And why were they doing the sacrifice? For the benefit of the people of the age of Kali. They were concerned about how they would be benefited. So who are the heroes today? You ask somebody, you ask most young people, who's your hero? And mostly they'll say celebrities or, you know, their great musician or somebody like that. Amala Bhakta always talks about how, you know, people worship these so-called heroes and how they're just nonsense, actually. So actually, people need leaders. They need someone to influence them. Celebrities, they make a splash. They're like stars. They come, they're a star for some time. But they're not like moons. Heroes, they actually make a difference in society. The celebrities are just interested in image, fame. But the heroes, they perform service and sacrifice for everyone. Celebrities want them to, they want people to serve them. But heroes, they want to serve you. Like Srila Prabhupada, he was giving this point in a lecture. It was some university, I think, in Europe. Prabhupada was talking about the different kshatriyas, the first class, or the brahmanas, first class men, you know, the different second class man, third class man, fourth class man, you know, sudras, brahmanas, vaishyas, sudras, like that. And then at the end, they're asking questions, and said, they asked Prabhupada, what class are you? Thinking that, you know, Prabhupada's up on this big chair and he's going to be the first class or something. Prabhupada said, no, we are fifth class because we serve all the other classes. These are heroes. They sacrifice themselves for everyone. They don't just serve someone they like or someone in their class, but they serve everybody. These are the real warriors, the real heroes. So we should be, we should actually emulate them, emulate them. We have so many examples of great devotees, great kings who have sacrificed themselves for others and who have taken a stand for Krishna. Just like Prahlada Maharaj. He was born in a family in a country of demons, but he stood up for Krishna, preached in school. Haridas Thakur was a Muslim. He was told not to chant or he'd be beaten, and he chanted anyway. We have Srila Prabhupada. So that's what they do. They take risks for Krishna. Safe life is equal to a wasted life. So this is the two main reasons why we don't take risks for Krishna or actually sacrifice for Krishna. Because this is one of the things to become a hero. You sacrifice for others. You take a stand for Krishna. That's another one. So the reasons we don't actually sacrifice or get out of our comfort zone is because we're attached to that comfort and we're afraid of pain. Like Winnie the Pooh, right? He's so, you know, so timid and sensitive. You know, he's afraid, so fearful. But as Manu, he knew there was more to life than just what's here and now, his great kingdom, his great wealth, his opulence, all these things. He knew there was more. So he gave it up and went to the forest. And he performed sacrifice, austerities. He stood up for Krishna. Just like the hero Haridas Thakur, he chanted, he was beaten. And another hero is his master of his senses. Most heroes today, they're slaves of their senses. And that's how they're conquered by the fair sex. Many great, powerful leaders have been conquered by women. But Haridas Thakur, he was approached by Maya Devi herself. And he converted her into a devotee of Krishna. These are the heroes. He did so many other things. But today, what are people worshiping? Money, sex, glamour, power, fame, all these things. So there's a nice quote here by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada put in the BTG in 1944. He says, "We wish that this mass of our body of flesh and blood may be sacrificed at the altar of preaching the Sankirtan movement, propagated by Lord Chaitanya. We are not desirous of becoming a hero of work or a reformer of religion, but our reality may be identified with the dust at the lotus feet of Sri Radha and Krishna, for that is our everything." So even Prabhupada, in the beginning of this chapter, those first two paragraphs, he approaches Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and begs him for his mercy. And he says, to the best of my ability, I'm trying to perform to fulfill his desires. This is sacrifice. The sacrifice that he performed. And then Ramananda Roy was inquired from Lord Chaitanya, and he said, who is the most heroic man in the world? And Ramananda replied, one who is known as a great devotee of the Lord is to be accepted as the most heroic because he conquers the influence of Maya. Prabhupada quoted that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, fourth canto. So, if you try to keep your life here, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life for the higher thing, then you actually get true life. Just like a seed, it loses its life for the huge tree that gives thousands and thousands of seeds. So in the same way, all these great heroes sacrifice their lives for true life. So that's why we have to make our life count in that way. And this is what Krishna specializes in. He makes heroes out of zeros. Because there's so many zeros, right? And Krishna's the one. So you put a one in all these zeros, it becomes very valuable. So these are the three questions that we can ask ourselves, because these are the three things that make a hero. Do you stand up for the truth? Do you sacrifice for others? Do you risk for Krishna? These are the heroes. And this is all pointed out in so many details, in so many intricate ways, in so many amazing ways in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we're all hero material. We're all heroes, and many of you already are heroes. What you're doing now, standing up for the truth, going out, standing on Sankirtan and distributing this transcendental knowledge. This is the same parampara system that's been going on for thousands of years. We're in touch with that same thing by going out and distributing books. Are you sacrificing for others, giving your time, giving your knowledge, giving your energy? Do we take risks, just like Swayambhu Vimana, who's standing on one leg, taking risks for Krishna, literally standing up for Krishna? And he was being attacked by the demons, and Krishna didn't let him down. So Krishna won't let you down if you take a stand for him. So I'd like to end there. If there's any comments or questions. See, there's something on your mind. Okay, thank you very much. I'll go to Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah, it's good, huh?